The word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the gospel which is preached unto you. So wrote the Apostle Peter in that famous first chapter of 1 Peter, bringing to our mind in a wonderful picture how the gospel of Jesus Christ must be our guide through life. If you take time to look at that sequence in that first chapter of 1 Peter, you'll find that the apostle there is telling men to put their faith in God and His Word. He mentions about life, as we would say, without God, in a spiritual sense, as that which is the grass of the field. And even the uttermost that can be said about man's existence is that he becomes as the flower of the grass. But whether one be considered the flower of the grass or the grass itself, the grass eventually withers and dies. We see a beautiful meadow in summertime, and we realize how lush it appears to be. But coming back in the bleak days of December, we find that it has dried up, it has turned brown, and perhaps some of it has died. All of it without proper moisture will die. So that's the way life is, and yet we offer to you on this broadcast, as we read it in our Bible, the wonderful teaching that will sustain life. It's all brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ, who have a sincere desire to bring you a teaching of God's Word without addition, subtraction, or alteration. In Romans 1:16, a passage I'm sure that's familiar to many who listen today, the Apostle Paul talks about God's Word as being the spiritual dynamite. Listen to the words now when Paul says in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And then perhaps the statement that must be understood in the light of Romans 1:16 is found in the very next verse. At your leisure, if you're not looking at the Bible now, why not jot down on a pad of paper, which many people keep by the radio in their Bible, Romans 1:16 and 17. After he's talked about the power of the gospel in verse 16, then he simply says in the famous 17th verse, "For therein," that's within the gospel, "is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I want to spend a little time in analysis on this 17th verse. You see, this answers the question that might come to your mind today. Can a person come to the place in their life when they are unable to tell right from wrong? I believe there are people who reach that point in life and are convinced that they can't do it. But you see, when we talk about the needs of the soul, it can always be done by simply looking into the Word of God and finding out what God has to say about the needs of the soul. We have mentioned numerous times in past broadcasts of how one must be born again. But then the question comes, how is one born again? How is one born of the water and of the Spirit? The best way to approach this subject is simply go to the detailed accounts of what people did to obey the gospel. When we found a valid teaching in God's Word, and the teaching is valid, that tells us how one became a Christian, whether it be the approximately 3,000 souls at Pentecost in Acts 2, or whether it be the Ethiopian who was traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza and heard the gospel, believed it, and obeyed it, was baptized in the water along the way, and went on his way rejoicing. You see, whether we read it, we might say in Acts 2 or Acts 8 or wherever it might be, wherever we have an account of conversion, we have the answer to the question, these people were born again. So what has the gospel become in that light? It has become a guide to our pathway. You know, I talked to a man some years ago who had spent a period of time in map study. And of course, this went into all areas of geography. It went into all areas of urban planning. And he especially keyed in on the importance of having maps. Now, you know, if you're going to take a trip anyplace, one of the first things you think, well, how do I get there? What is the shortest route? You see, you may be tied in with some organization that provides free maps as you are a member of that organization. And so you send away for that, and the day your maps comes, you get them out on the table, and you go over the map. Now, one thought that comes to your mind, perhaps, well, will the map be wrong? And yet, you know, in all my travels throughout the years, I've found very few maps that were wrong. Oh, it may have a misspelled city. It may not have the exact mileage that it is from one point to another, but the highways and generally the numbers of the highways are clear and are plain. Now, when you want to go from one place to another, you have your destination in mind. And in this simple illustration of the broadcast today, the destination that you have in mind and the destination that I have in mind must be that eternal home of the soul. Now, we can't get a Rand McNally Atlas to find out how to get from our hometown to heaven. But you have no doubt in your library, or perhaps upon the table, or I hope before you today, the greatest roadmap to heaven that could ever be found. It doesn't have a mistake in it. It has the way defined clearly in which we travel. After all, the one who is responsible for giving us this map died upon the cross for your sins and for mine, so he has a special interest in the needs of our getting from this life to heaven. So the point is that Jesus Christ gave us this teaching, and it's a teaching that's designed to take us from the very bottom of the hill, down there in sin, to the highest mountaintop in Christ Jesus. You know, it's essential that we follow the map that God has given us. I remember some years ago not having a map, but being given the direction by a brother who'd been raised in a certain community. My wife and I were traveling from western Illinois up through a certain area into Iowa, and we were traveling at night, leaving about 11 o'clock after a service. He said, "Now be sure when you come to the bridge that goes across the Illinois River that you make a right turn. Do not turn left." He emphasized that no less than 3 times in his conversation. So as we were traveling down the highway, we got into a storm, and I suppose it was about midnight. And as we came across this long bridge crossing the Illinois River, my wife said, "Don't turn to the right." I said, "That's what the brother told me to do." "Well," she said, "you can see that bluff there. You can see the lightning. I'm sure that this road will go right down into the river." Now, I'm not casting a reflection on my wife because she's very accurate on things like that, but it did look like that road was going down into the river. So, unfortunately, I made a left-hand turn, and I found in just a short period of time that I had really made a mistake. After spending some time in getting my car out of a place that was almost like quicksand, I realized we had to go the way the brother had told me. Now, he'd been over that road time and time again, and I thought as I drove up that highway, finding it didn't go into the river, to truly the amazement of both my wife and myself, the moon came out. And I thought especially as I drove up that state highway, how true it is in life. Many, many times it would appear that if we take the way that God has designed, it's going to be difficult. We're going to have a lot of hardships. We probably will not make it to the destination. So we turn to a way that seems right to us. And the words of Solomon ring home true in Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And the same Solomon writing in a very definite matter in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." So in the 17th verse, we have the right way, the way of God revealed in the gospel. Now we have some very good backing on this too. I was interested in the expression, faith to faith. Now you may have a different idea about what this expression means. A good sister in Christ that had studied the Bible for so many years said that she believed this would be the examples that were found in both the Old and the New Testament, example after example of faith, showing us of faithful men such as Abraham, as Joseph in Egypt, as Joshua, the leader of the legions of Israel, also we might say as the apostles in the New Testament, and the greatest example, of course, being the example of Jesus, who truly came to this life. He had a tremendous faith that men would follow the teaching that he offered. And of course, the point is brought before our minds from the illustration, the reference that's given by Paul in the last part of the 17th verse. After he says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith," then we have this quotation from Habakkuk, "As it is written, the just shall live by faith." And I was reading that some time ago, and I noticed that he went back to the days before the captivity of Judah, when the people of God in that kingdom of Judah were taken by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans to the city of Babylon. The prophet Habakkuk was selected by God to tell the children of Judah, if I may use the term, that they had reached the point of no return. When you read the first four verses of that second chapter of Habakkuk, you'll find it to be outstanding. It tells that certainly this destruction is going to come upon Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah. But he also makes an interesting point. Amid all the people who were steeped in idolatry were such men as Daniel, perhaps Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and other interesting people who were following God. And in the midst of all this upheaval and this captivity, he simply reminds them that the just shall live by his faith. And might I say to you on the broadcast today, the great example of faith is found there in the Bible. The way to heaven is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Begin it by hearing the word, believing it, repenting your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that you believe he's the Son of God, and following that with immersion in water, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Go on to present your body as a living sacrifice. Follow the guidebook, the gospel, from your location in life to heaven above. Your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ invite you to their services, and they invite you to call upon them for assistance as you look at the Word of God that is able to save you from sin and take you to the heavenly home. May God bless us all as we obey his marvelous and wonderful truth.